Hey, welcome everybody back to Silver Lake TV. I'm John Papa. I'm a senior technical evangelist here with Microsoft. And we've got a little different set today. We're going to be talking with a return guest from way back when, David Kelly of Wirestone. He's one of our Silverlight MVPs and UX experts. David, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you do?
Yeah, thank you, John. My name is David Kelly. I'm the principal user experience architect for interactive design firm Wirestone. Mm-hmm. And we do a bunch of really cool stuff, everything from touch walls, kiosks, Phone 7. We do some stuff in the Microsoft Retail Store. We just recently did a bunch of stuff for Nike and Jordan, and it's a lot of Deep Zoom, Silverlight, XAML, and another cool stuff.
And you were on the show, I think it was episode 3, maybe, on Silverlight TV, way long ago.
I was. I think it was episode 3.
About a year ago, actually, yeah. And we did some touch basics back then. But one of the things I love about talking with you is you're one of the masters, and your company is great at doing the whole user experience with touch. You built the Nike Airwall, is what it's called?
There's actually two. We built part of the Jordan Mosaic, which was an integrated marketing kind of marketing program, and it allowed people to upload images of shoes, and we used a bunch of custom stuff we built in Azure to process it into a massive Jordan Mosaic, and you could type in your name, and it would zoom into your picture.
Do you have that demo here today?
I do have that.
That'd be great. Let's take a look at that one. For those who haven't seen it before, it's actually very impressive. That it's up there, and you guys have done a lot of other things too.
We've done like the Nike Touch Wall. We've done some other Jordan stuff, but this here's the Jordan Touch Wall. We can zoom down. You can type in something.
That's all using Deep Zoom with
Silverlight. Yeah, it's all Deep Zoom.
And this is available on a public website, is it not?
It is. Jumpman23mosaic.com.
Great. We'll put that out there on the website for the Silverlight
great,
TV show.
Great. So to do this particular program, or at least this piece, we had to build some custom Deep Zoom processing. Mm-hmm. It's all cloud, Azure-based, and it rebuilt the mosaic every time there was enough images to be able to build a new...
How many images are in that? That's got to be huge.
Tens of thousands. Yeah, there's a whole bunch, and you can...
So those are all tiny little images in a mosaic that actually look like Jordan about to dunk the ball.
That's right.
That's not a picture of you dunking, right?
No. No,
in
although
Jordan's
I did.
Outfit.
No, it's not me. I'm afraid not.
Those days behind you now, aren't they?
Yes. I was never much of a basketball person. I was more of a bicycle person.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, I love that you're showing some of the stuff you do. I know you got some other demos to show us as well, but today's episode we wanted to talk about some of the things you guys are experts at.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked about some of the main things like building kiosk-based applications. Mm-hmm. I think of kiosks. I think of those old machines in the mall that have tiny little screens and, you know, you are here. But there's so much more you do with kiosks these days that's blown past that scenario. Can you explain kind of what your role in these applications has been?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we're doing is retail experience or customer-facing stuff, whether it's touch walls, kiosks, and there's a lot of variations in between from digital price tags, phones, Kinect, all kinds of stuff
Microsoft Kinect? We're
playing with. Yes, Microsoft Kinect.
Very cool.
So my role as principal user experience architect is frequently what's called a producer. If you're in a development shop, you might not hear that term normally, but it's like a lead developer. So part of what I do is I work with designers, and we work on how I need those assets. So like an Adobe shop like ours, we have to have a lot of rules or communication that we do so that when they provide us assets, they drop right into Silverlight and WPF easily. And we've actually found a great set of kind of rules that we do, and we work with the designers and how to bring those assets in. And then I work with the developers on application architecture, how to pull in those assets, how to arrange that stuff properly so we can use it. One of the things
and the assets would be like pictures, images.
Images, things like that. So a lot of times when working with Adobe-based designers, I'll have most of the UI designed in Illustrator, because when you bring that into Expression Blend, you get vector data, paths, and things you can use. There's a few minor tweaks you have to do, okay. And you have to get your designers to kind of structure things properly, and they have this concept called a canvas, and you have to have everything in the canvas, mm-hmm. or when you import it, you get like a blank screen. So there's little things like that I have to overcome. And then that allows the developers to then kind of wire into that stuff directly. One of the other things we do is we try to build a lot of those assets in Silverlight so mm-hmm. that we can reuse them across multiple experiences. And Jordan is a good example of that, where there's a version of this running on a wall. You can get it running on a phone. You can get it
on a wall? So what kind of a wall is that?
Well, in this case, it was a custom rear projection stuff. Some of the other Nike wall.
You're talking like the big things you could have, like a retail store, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big touch walls.
Or like conferences. Or our smallest, what we would call wall, is made out of 55-inch touch panels that we've kind of custom built. And we have a bunch of those at our office.
So these walls aren't just one large piece of glass. They're multiple screens put together in a lot of cases.
It depends. Yeah. Like the Nike wall at the World Basketball Festival was panels, mm-hmm. and there was a number of them in a row, basically, that had each one had its own machine. They had custom sound. It could do all kinds of sampling and complex a kind of analysis of what's going on, right. So you could target that particular customer.
And these are more consumer. That was like more of a consumer-facing app. And mm-hmm. you've also done, speaking of consumer and touch walls, you did a lot with Microsoft retail stores.
That's true.
As well. So tell us about how that played, because I know it's very different from
the
Jordan
application. Yeah, it's a very radical difference between Jordan and, say, the Microsoft retail. Mm-hmm. In retail, one of the cool things about the store, which people don't realize, is inside the Microsoft store, you really have the potential to buy an infinite amount of software just like on demand.
Right.
So one of the key pieces that we did was a software kiosk. And what that is you go in and you select the software you want. And when you're ready to check out, they start manufacturing it in the back room.
Oh, cool.
It's really a neat system. But in that case, we're using the same kind of approach to build that application as you might see on Jordan or any of the other stuff where we're building...
So no keyboards, no mice,
no retinal scans.
These are all touch-based kiosks.
So there's a lot of design considerations, lighting considerations, mm-hmm. a lot of environment stuff that we have to take into account.
Yeah, I know when we had the Surface machines, and I was doing one of the keynotes at Tech in mm-hmm. New Zealand, we spent 20 minutes just before the keynote to calibrate the Surface machine based on lighting for the cameras and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much goes into making sure the touch experience is optimized.
There is. There's a lot of key stuff you have to do, mm-hmm. whether it's lighting, whether it's
different. Even the heat was an issue in certain
parts of it. That has been an issue. Like the Nike wall in New York that we did, we actually had to have a special air conditioning just for the wall, besides the space where the people were. But the contractor had to build the big air conditioner into the wall that's like a foot between the real wall and the touch wall.
I bet. Nobody knows all that goes behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was huge.
That's as cool as you think about all this. Project. These big brands, you know, Nike, Microsoft, retail mm-hmm. stores, all these places. And I know you've worked on others as well. We've talked about very big names all using Silverlight, WPF, this kind of technology to build these touch experiences. Mm-hmm. What about something a little more personal to you, like a Windows Phone app that you may have written?
Oh, yes, Simon.
I'd love to see that and share it with everybody,
too. Yeah, I could show you that. I have the code base running here.
It's such a, not to belittle it in any way, because I really do think a lot of it, it's such a simplistic way to look at touch in a very universal experience, because a lot of people know what this is.
Yeah,
this is the toy I have when I was five.
So this started off as a way of demo this kind of technology of composite application development.
Let's stop there again. We talked about composite. What does composite mean to you in this case? Explain to everybody.
So, okay, I'm not talking about the whole prism thing.
No prisms.
What I mean by composite development is building assets, Silverlight controls, user controls, that can be reused or repurposed across multiple mediums. In this case... Simon is one user control. That user control works in Silverlight. It works in WPF. It works on Surface. and it works on the phone.
How about COBOL? Does it work in COBOL?
You know, I haven't really tried that.
I don't like
yet,
it anymore.
No, but,
so this is all touch-based, right?
It is.
So can you show us, I mean, touch it. Well, prove it to me.
Well, awesome. You touch it, it lights up. It remembers the sequence. There's a couple of features in here. You can make it pink, you know, if you're into pink.
You got to have themes if you're on Windows Phone, right?
Yeah, you got to have themes.
Is this a for sale app or is this free?
It's a free app.
Okay.
It's if you search Simon in the marketplace, it's the top app that comes up.
Okay.
There's 50,000 plus users now and it's a fun app.
Now, as far as using this on here, because I remember you had Simon before for Silverlight Regular, Silverlight Classic, whatever we want to call it now,
sure.
Not on the phone. That application worked fine. Now, moving it over to Windows Phone 7, what kind of issues or non-issues, how was that experience?
The experience was actually fairly easy.
That's the right answer, David. Okay, let's keep going.
Well, but the key thing was that Simon was already designed to run across multiple environments.
Right.
We'd already spent the thought process, gone through the whole making it work in Silverlight and WPF and things like the media element, which doesn't really port well between Silverlight and WPF.
And what are you using the media element for in this particular application?
Well,
the audio?
Simon, yeah, the audio. Okay. In this case, there's just four simple sounds, but what works in Silverlight doesn't necessarily work so well in WPF, and that really says a lot about the Silverlight team. They just did a really awesome job with a lot of the infrastructure built into Silverlight. So in Silverlight, it's just enormously more pleasant to use the media element.
Yes.
It's very simple, but it works well. The same code might work in WPF, but it's a horrible experience. The media element in WPF skips. There's all kinds of other problems. And so to solve that problem, you can use like a media player. And that's one of the things you've got to take into account is not the media player as such, but the tiny little gotchas.
Right.
Whether it's pixel shaders or the media element or a few other little things that you have to consider when you're building composite components. In the case of Simon, the only issue coming from regular Silverlight WPF and Surface to the phone was the pixel shader, the drop shadow around
right. Gradients and pixel shaders, definitely a little different on the phone than they are on larger apps,
and
larger screens.
So this, it started off as more or less a just, hey, I'll put it on the phone, see how well it works. Post it in a marketplace, and everyone was saying, oh, the performance, you got to fix it.
It's actually performing well for what I've seen on mine. I have it on my phone.
Well, the initial version was, this was all built in XAML. It's enormously complex XAML.
I bet.
Which, you know, it's not really optimized for the phone. So there was a lot of lag, a lot of performance. And as soon as I got rid of all that XAML, put a picture of Simon, so the code base in the market now is the C# is the same, but the XAML is much, much simplified because so many people started downloading it saying, hey, how come the performance is lax? Fine, we'll go fix
it. It's definitely something you got to think about because, I mean, you think about moving. I remember we moved to Silverlight applications from WPF, WinForms, ASP.NET, and size became a little bit of an issue. Remember early days of Silverlight, people were like, how big is the application? How many K? It almost felt like we went back a little bit to, you know, download speeds and whatnot. And then people got gradually used to how big Silverlight apps can get. But now with the phone app, you're going to be out somewhere on a 3G network.
You got to step back a little bit. You know, I proved my point. I can run Simon on the phone, but to really make it an optimized user experience, it needed to change. Now that same control is infinitely faster now on Silverlight, WPF, and Surface. But
so what about the gesture features on here, like the touch support and the behaviors? What did you use on Windows Phone versus the Silverlight version? Anything different?
So There's actually a lot to touch inside with Simon project. We posted up on CodePlex, and actually there's another MVP, David Zordon. I don't know if you know him. He's from Italy. He did a lot of the multi-touch for Surface and Azure and that sort of stuff for Simon.
I think we called him out last time we had the show.
Did we?
A little deja vu. Yes, he's very good at that.
Well, we collaborated on that, and so it depends now which version of Simon you're talking about, because like Simon on Surface, there's a bunch of surface stuff we have to do. So,
well, on the phone specifically, I mean, I know I've got a lot of questions on what's the best way to do touch support for phone. Could you give any suggestions out to everybody on where you'd start?
Most of the yes. Yeah, so I think there's a bunch of great resources online that you can get off of Silverlight.net or off of Silverlight TV, kind of thing. But
the built-in gestures that are inside a phone, they're all work, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of behaviors and whatnot on CodePlex and some other places that are good. And I know sometimes people get confused on kind of which ones are the best to use.
So I think it depends on what you're trying to do. In the case of Simon, it's a very simple app. We're just using out-of-the-box click events to run Simon. So
right, because you're not doing flick or pan
or anything
else.
Or any of the other gestures you can do. And a lot of the controls that you use, the base mm-hmm. controls, will have some of that stuff built in, whether it's a list box, whether it's a panoramic control. As long as you deal with the rest of your events properly, it works just out of the box. Great. One of the things you got to remember is a lot of people are building panoramic controls, for example, into their applications.
Right.
And if you put like a list box inside your panorama and you have all these controls start competing for events, you start to have problems. That's right. One of the more common examples that I see when talking
to
people.
Yeah, a panorama with a pivot, But I've seen several, or even like a map control inside of a panorama with something in it. You get too much touch in one place, and and the user doesn't really know what to do either. What do I do if I flick left or right? Is it intuitive that the map should pan or should the panel pan?
Right,
you know,
right.
Those are answers that you don't have. So
ideally, you should design your application so you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have two controls with the same gesture.
Right.
But
I think that's really good. And I'm going to cut you off here for just a second. I think we have some great demos we want to put up. We actually talked about quite a lot that I think we could put some great links up on for some more information for some folks.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
And I know you had another demo you brought today, which we didn't have time for today, and I want to make sure we get you back on to show it because I think that one's going to be really cool.
Oh, the touch tag demo. That's a really awesome touch demo.
That's going to be a good one. And to wrap up here, there's a conference every year that you and I both love, and it's coming up soon.
Yes, there is. I'm really excited about it.
You going to go to MIX this year in April?
Absolutely, I am.
It's
always
going to be fun. Yeah, there's always a UX Silverlighty, I make up words on the fly here, theme to the hall event, and I think it'll be a good time this year. And I'm hosting a boot camp. Are you doing any sessions? Did you put anything in the open call?
I did put something in the open call. I haven't heard yet, so I don't know if I'm presenting or not.
I think the voting ended, but we haven't announced yet, so yeah. That'll be good, but I hope to see you there either way, whether you're speaking or not. If you are speaking, hopefully you get to see some cool touch events.
You'll all have some cool stuff to demo, that's for sure.
Hey, thanks, David, and thank everybody for watching Silverlight TV.
Thank you.